Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastor, Teacher, and Healing Evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, Pastor Billy helps us to understand the importance of and the key principles in helping us to keep God as our main source while benefiting from many resources. Now, here's Pastor Billy with today's message titled, One Source, Many Resources.
I want to talk to you today about the difference between having God as your only source and yet benefiting from many resources. There's a huge difference between source and your resources. God is your only source of everything, but yet He connects you to many, many various resources. And when these get confused and you begin to look at resource as source, everything begins to dry up. Sorrow shows up, the joy goes, and there's a dead-end street. So therein lies the challenge, keeping God as your only source while you yet benefit from many resources. There's a scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, and it says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of the Lord." It's so amazing how God wants to be our total supply for everything. He never wants you to get to the point where you trust solely in your capabilities, your skill set, your experience, your contacts, even your looks, your personality, your money. I mean, all of these things are great assets. They're things that are needed as we go through life to just cause us to be who we are supposed to be and to provide for others to be what they're supposed to be and so on and so on. But what happens very subtly is we begin to trust in our money. We begin to have trust in our skill set. We begin to have trust. And you say, well, shouldn't we trust in that? The Bible says to trust in the Lord, that our sufficiency should be in Him and not ourselves. God does not mind at all, trust me, if you benefit from any of these qualities. He wants you to benefit. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have courage. You know, but He wants you to always remember, where did your skill set come from? The scriptures teach that every good gift comes from above. All of your abilities, any money you should ever be entrusted with, or children or grandchildren, any assets and qualities and attributes that further you on in life. And so often, you know, when people do understand and develop skill sets and talent and they get money, that's whenever they begin to go away from the Lord. They don't need the Lord now. They needed the Lord to get it. But now that they got it, they begin. And it's a subtle shift. It's a subtle, you know, getting sideways with it. It happens easy. It happens frequent. And it's so deadly. It's the carbon monoxide of the scripture. And you don't even know you're doing it. Because why? You still love God. You know, you still say He's number one. But in all actuality, something has happened. Something has taken place. You see, whenever you trust in you, whenever you trust in your knowledge, your strength, you trust in your charisma, your contacts, the people that you know, your relatives, your experience of whatever, whenever you trust in you, then you get the glory. Whenever you trust in you, then it becomes limited because God doesn't let anything you take the credit for go very far or multiply. But whenever you put your trust in Him, for what? For everything. Then He gets the glory and there's unlimited access. You see, Jesus wants to be your source for provision, your finances, your health, your strength, your people connections. That's why He said in John 10:9, "I am the door." He said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He said in John 10:10, "I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." Ephesians 6 says, "Be strong in the Lord," not yourself, in the Lord, and in the power of His might. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in myself. No, I can do all things with my college education. No, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. In Acts 17:28, the great writer there says, in him, meaning Jesus, in him we live and move and have our being. These are just a few of the scriptures that are so strong. I mean, so in your face that he wants to be your source spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally. You say, yeah, but you don't know what my dad did. My dad was a coal miner, and his dad was a coal miner. And my dad would get up every morning at 4:30 and go to those mines, and he would work, and he'd come home, and he was dirty, but he worked, and, oh, I mean, you could see my dad sacrificed. He provided for him. Wait a minute, slow down. Yes, your dad did do that. But where did your dad get the strength to do that? Where did your dad get the stamina to keep doing that? You know, and so often we've got to be so very careful of whatever achievement. My uncle was a doctor. Where did he get the intelligence? Where did he get the money to go to college? Where did he get the brain power to, you know, ascend to the place that he is? Every good gift comes from above. But what happens is, you know, oftentimes, man, there's something within every human being that wants to take the cream off the top and say, look what I did. I did this. I did that. I achieved that. And it's true, you did. You're involved in the equation. But where would you be without his knowledge, your brain power? Where would you be without the right people that he's placed in your life at the right time? Where would you be without the desire to pick yourself up after things have happened that weren't supposed to happen? And you had to get push the restart button, the reset button. He is more your source than what many of us ever realize. And see, therein lies the whole transition. Because we're trained from little, and we're trained from just infants to be independent. You know, I mean, we're trained, first of all, to trust in our parents, to trust in the school teachers, you know, to trust in the people in the malls, and to trust in the government, and to trust that the people that say that on TV who they are, that's who they are, and to trust. We're taught to trust in everybody but the Lord. Why? Because you can't see them. It takes faith to trust in someone you can't see. This is a sensual world, and we live by senses, what we see, what we smell, what we touch, what we've, you know, that's how this world lives. And yet faith is outside the realm of your five senses. That's where God lives. God lives outside that realm. That's why it says we walk by faith and not by sight. It's a great transition of learning and cultivating when you get born again to shift your trust completely to the Lord. I mean, like I said, we're so used to trusting in people. And what we find out is that people let us down again and again and again. We leave ourselves down again and again and again. Sometimes we can't even get out of bed on time. You know, we can't even show up for work on time. You know, we can't finish a particular project. Sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. You know, and we begin to realize at some point in our life, and what happens is, instead of trusting in the Lord, we make excuse, we rationalize, we reason. And we say, well, if I had more rest, if I took more vitamins, if I did steroids, and it goes on, and if I get some more classes on this, if I get more knowledge, if I get more experience. And it's I, and it's me, and it's I, and more me, and I, and what you want to do is, and most people don't know it, they're building a life to be more independent of God versus interdependent upon God. Remember, he said, you're the branches, I'm the vine. It looks like the branch has all the glory because the branch is where the fruit is. There's no fruit that grows on the trunk. When's the last time you saw fruit on the trunk of a tree? It doesn't exist. It hangs on the branch, so the branch gets all the credit. But where would that branch be without the trunk of the tree? And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say to us. Put your trust in me. Let me be your source. I am your door to everything. I am the true vine that will connect you to every piece of result and fruit that you could ever dream to have. But I want you to put your trust in me. That's why Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all. Just say that word over and over again in your mind, all. Think about that. My God shall supply all of your needs. That means your car. That means your insurance. That means your health. That means your money. That means where to live. That means your college education. That just means everything. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and his glory. If there's one verse in the whole Bible that's so strong about God being your total source, your total supply, your total strength, not just when you're young, but as you get older. You know, mostly when you're young, you trust in your own strength, but ask the older people and they realize, I need the Lord. Well, we should need him at every age. We shouldn't just need him whenever we're in a crisis. We should need him when things are going well. And we just say, I thank you that as things are going well for me, I trust in you that I'm able to help others in my place of strength. In my place of weakness, I trust in you to send help. In my place of strength, I trust you to help me release resources that I may have to help others. But it's a matter of that great transition of where we realize that God supplies all of our needs. And so he wants to be seen as our source. That's kind of the way Jesus was seen by the disciples. They were sick, and he became their healer. They were out of food. He became their provider. They lacked wine. He produced wine. They needed tax money. He provided tax money. They needed rescued from a storm. He rescued them from the storm. I mean, they need released from fear, and he released them from fear. And they need set free from religion, and he did that. And he was just there on every turn of every need that they had. He became their source, and they knew it. And that's why they couldn't hardly fathom his crucifixion. And then when he resurrected, they couldn't fathom that he was leaving. Even though he said, as you see me leave, so shall I return. They're thinking, oh no, please don't go. He said, but I send you another, and that is the Holy Spirit. And he shall be the same to you as I was to you. He will provide everything. He will connect you to everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness. It's like you have a house that has one water line that comes into every home. There's one main water line that comes into every home, but within the home, there's the kitchen and the shower and the bathroom and the cellar, and there's so many outlets. There's so many resources to get water. But coming into the house, there's only one main water line. And that's what God wants you and I to see, to understand. And when we come into an understanding of that, oh my, can this begin to work? This can begin to set you on another level quickly. When you begin to see that you only have one source, and it's not your money. You only have one source, and it's not the people that you think are in your life to open up all the right doors for you. It's not, you know, you only have one source, and it's not your youth and your energy. You only have one source, and it's not your past experiences of all that you've been and all the people that you know and all the ministries that you sat under. Those are all beneficial, but the moment you make them your source, they begin to have an expiration date on them. Only those things connected to God are forever. Those things connected to you, they pine away. They turn into dust. The branch without the tree is only good for firewood. Very, very, very powerful here that we begin to see. Well, what are our resources? Money's a resource, a very valuable resource. People are a resource. Your knowledge is a resource. Your experiences is a great resource. Your personal wellness, being in health, being physically strong. Your skill set, if you're a plumber, a carpenter, an athlete. You know, if you're a homemaker, whatever your skill set is, You know, if you're a public speaker, if you're a manager, if you're an accountant, if you're a carpenter, you know, if you are a custodian, whatever you're really good at that God's given you a skill set for, that's a great resource. Very, very powerful. Your possessions or your equipment is a great resource. If you own land, if you have equipment, if you have stocks and bonds, if you collect antiques, your clothes can become a great asset to you. Your collections, all of those. These are all valuable resources. What are they? People, money, knowledge, experience, wellness, skill set, your possessions. But that's just what they are. They are resources. They're not source. And whenever you make them your source, that's what ruins relationships. Somebody helps you, you begin to think, oh, thank you, Jesus. And you begin to see them as your meal ticket, or you begin to see them as your source of money, your source of strength. And they begin to replace the Holy Spirit. And that's where God is grieved, and that's when relationships go south, because you begin to extract too much out of any one person. They only have so much to give. Why? People are limited. Your knowledge is limited. Your skill set is limited. Many ball players try to go from this to that and from playing ball to acting, and some make it, most don't. Some try to change different sports, some do it, most don't. It's amazing how once you're really good at something, you think you can do anything, and in yourself, you cannot. In the Lord, there's unlimited potential. So we see that the difference between source and resource. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Because there's nothing worse than looking to a resource as your source. It just leaves you empty. It ruins relationships. It makes money your God. It makes you, you know, preaching your experiences instead of preaching and teaching and sharing the good word of God. It just makes you, you know, not appreciate. You begin to, I'm young, I'm healthy, I don't have any problems. And you begin to not take care of yourself possibly as well as you could. It's very, very important that you understand the difference between the source and the resource. One source, He is the Lord. And that's why He said in John 10:9, I'm the door. In other words, if you begin to say, Lord, I need a job, connect me to that job, and then all of a sudden, you know, the Lord then connects you to people. The Lord then connects you to a place. The Lord then connects you to, and then after you get that, you say, well, thank you, Lord. And you begin to see God in all of your connections. And those connections become resources. As that begins to take place and things begin to fall into the place that they're supposed to be, your life takes on new meaning and new purpose. And I'm telling you, it releases a boatload of stress. It releases a boatload of guilt and shame. And, oh my, you begin to realize, well, I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting the Lord. He's my source. He's the one that'll have the final say, where I go to school, where I work, which direction this marriage will go, how my children will turn out, how long I will live out my years on planet Earth. When you begin to make Him your source, you take your hands out of the professionals. You take your destiny out of the statistics. You take your years out of the hands of people that look over you and question and judge and say yay or nay. This is not the old Roman Empire where the emperor puts his thumb up or puts his thumb down. The promises of God are yes and they're amen. God, His plans for you are amazing, but He just wants you to come about the plans the right way. He doesn't want to be the forgotten person in the equation. He wants you to remember that it is He that brought you out of Egypt. It is He that brought you through the wilderness. He was the rock that they drank out of. He was the light that shined before them after the Red Sea. See, he has been all through this journey with you, and he wants you to begin to understand, in spite of all that you have and all that you know and all the experiences, but whether you're young or whether you're older. Sometimes older people have a deeper problem with this than younger. They think, hey, I'll tell you where I've been. Let me tell you what I've learned. Well, how did you learn that? You learned that by the grace of God, who gave you the ability to process pain, process your mistakes, understand why this went wrong, understand why you succeeded, and say, well, thank you, Lord, I could have turned out another way, but you closed that door. Now I understand. And you begin to give God praise for what? For being your source, even when you didn't even realize it. That's why whenever you make Jesus the Lord of your life, I mean, when he saves you, I mean, he wants to be the one that connects you to everything you need and everything you desire. He's not just after your needs. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. Your needs. He said in Mark 11:23-24, whatsoever things you desire. God's not just about meeting your needs of shelter, food, and clothing. He really brought you here into this planet Earth, into this system of earthly living, to really maximize your potential, to take the limits off, to take the limits off what he has for you to do, to be, to have. He took people that were basically nobodies and made them somebodies. He took people that had nothing and gave them, laden them down with prosperity, laden them down with good reputation, gave them wonderful ideas of ingenuity and creativity. Noah built a boat that withstood a cataclysmic, you know, earth shift, a polar axis shift, a deluge. He wasn't just in a storm. The fountains of the deep broke up. Water came from within the earth. Water came from out of the heavens. And they're proven that there was a polar, the earth went off its rotation. And he built a boat out of gopher wood and mud, and it withstood that storm. If a Titanic sank over an iceberg, but a boat made out of gopher wood and mud withstood the earth's catastrophic event, it tells you that when God is in something, it's so much better. He's so much better suited. There's no sorrow and there's no strings. It may take a little longer for you to get where you want to go, be who you want to be, have what you want to have. Oh, but I'll tell you, partner, it's much more sure when you realize it came from him and not that of your own hands. That's why God said to Abel, I accept your sacrifice, but that's why he said to Cain, I'm not yours. Because you see, Abel's sacrifice came from the blood of an animal that he couldn't create. But Cain's sacrifice came from the tiller of the ground. He was a tiller of the ground. He worked it. He cultivated it. He grew. It was his work, his labor, his sweat. But Abel's came from the labor of the mother to the father, to the baby animal, to the blood sacrifice. It was God that created that life. Mm-hmm. It's so important that you see. That's why Jesus said, go in my name, not your name. Today, everybody wants to make their name great. God said, go in my name. Pray in my name. Plead and use my blood. Stand on my word and yield to my anointing. Are you seeing the picture clearly here? Go in my name. Pray in my name. Plead my blood. Stand on my word. Yield to my anointing. I mean, on and on and on. There's so much information that all points to how God wants to be seen as our only source. Why is this so important, and how can we make this shift? What can you do today? What's some practical things, Pastor Billy, that you could help me with to help me begin to make this shift? Because it is a shift. It is a transition. This isn't something that happens overnight. Once you've learned to put your trust, you know, in yourself, Once you learn to put your trust in your abilities, that's why people actually lose their mind, lose their life, lose reality. Because the one thing we're all guaranteed in this world is change. Relationships change. You know, people divorce, people die, people go to heaven. People move out of the country, people move away from where you were. You know, people get soiled and soured, and people that you were close to, you're distant from. Relationships change. Oh my, if you have childhood friends for a length of time, count yourself blessed. Many people today, you know, don't have that many people on one or two hands that they could say, I could call them in a time of trouble. At one time they could, but things change. Things change in the churches. Churches change. What churches do, how they preach the gospel, how they reach the lost, how they touch their neighborhoods. Pastors change. They come and they go, and people that you loved and learned from are no longer there. And who are you going to trust now? Who are you going to look to now that that person's no longer there? Some people quit. They say, ever since Pastor so-and-so left, I can't get no revelation. I can't learn. That's not true. You were looking too much to a person. That person was more your source and your joy and your fulfillment than the Lord. Now, you didn't know it at the time. You thought, hey, that's my pastor. I'm in that church. And it happened so subtle. That's why we have such a difficult time with the loss of life and the change of life, and people separate and go on because we have looked to them a certain way for so long. Even when your favorite television program is taken off the air and you miss that program, it's like, oh my. Or whenever a certain sports season is over and you have to wait 6 months for the next season to come around. You know, remember, he said, in him we live and move. It's important to have God as your source. Why? Because we're guaranteed to have many, many changes. Some of them are very temporarily. Some changes are permanent until Jesus comes back. When you lose a loved one, it's very permanent. They're really not here. They're not going to be on the phone talking to you. You cannot call them. You cannot go visit them. You can go to their house, but they're not there. There's a grave, or there's a place at sea, or if they were in some horrible accident, they're just not there. It seems so permanent. It is until his kingdom comes. Changes. People are living with drastic changes every day. Veterans go to battle and they lose an arm, they lose a leg. Psychological changes. When little children lose parents, changes. Divorces, there's change. Companies, you know, they move outside the United States and they close down and they say you don't have a job. Changes. Changes, changes, changes. We're guaranteed changes. And that's why you have to be connected to the rock that doesn't move. And the only source that you can have that you're guaranteed that doesn't waver, that doesn't break, is the Lord Jesus. He said, I am the rock of your salvation. That's why you really, and I need to, and we all need to make this shift to making him our source. So when these changes do come, and they will, and many of you know as I'm speaking, and they have, and the ill effects of these changes will not be the same dramatized, dramatic effect as whenever, you know, my trust is in the Lord. He moved across the country, but I trust the Lord. This happened in my life, but I'm trusting in him now to be my all in all, to be my joy, to be my peace, to be my provider. And when you look to him to be that for you, and that's my next point, how do you make this shift? You recognize that we're all in the process of change. But the very next thing I would say to you is this. Practice looking to the Lord right now. Lord, I'm looking to you for peace. I'm looking to you for my security. Don't wait for something negative to take place. Cultivate that today. Don't wait for your job to shut down. Don't wait for something to be negative to happen within the boundaries of your family or your friends. Begin to realize, Lord, it's in you I live and move. I get fulfillment out of people. I love people. They satisfy me. But life is full of pain and hurt. Jesus is full of love, peace, and joy. And if you have people that you know are going to be in heaven, and you know you have people that are going to be with you forever, then you need to continue at this moment to practice, Lord, I'm looking to you for my peace. I'm looking to you for my joy. Right now, you may not have that much joy to look at. Maybe you're looking around your life right now and say, what's there to be joyful about? And right there is the very reason why he is your source of joy. Not things, not other people, not trophies, not accolades. He is. That's why it says the joy of the Lord is your strength, not the joy of your trophies, not the joy of your accolades, not the joy of your youth. It says the joy of the Lord. When he is your source of joy, it changes everything. When he is your source of peace, it changes everything. When Daniel was put in the lion's den, he didn't stop praying. Most people, when they hit something bad, rough, tough, their prayer gets shut down. They don't go to church, and they get in a crazy frame of mind. Not Daniel. Daniel saw God as a source. And in the midst of hungry lions, he continued to do what he did in the palace. He prayed in a tough place. How could you do that? How could Paul and Silas praise God, beaten, raw hamburger, their bodies were turned into raw meat, hanging on the wall of a jail that was hundreds of feet under the earth, no windows, no ventilation, and yet they praised him. On and on, these stories of these remarkable men. Why? Because they looked beyond natural means. They realized people can only do so much. Money can only help you so much. Even the very rich and affluent find that out. You know, your skill set can only help you so much. Most athletes have great skills, but once those skills begin to diminish, they call it father time sets in. And they begin to realize, I had that just for a season. That wasn't eternal. And that's why I say, when you begin to practice looking to him, recognize everything is changing and will continue to change. Recognize that, you know, you need to begin to practice. Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you for my fulfillment. Right now, I don't like where I'm working. I don't like the car that I'm driving, but I'm looking to you for my fulfillment. I'm getting fulfilled in you. That's not saying you won't have the car and you will never get the job and you won't move into that house. But for right now, you're not letting yourself be sunk. You're not letting yourself be, you know, sabotaged and hijacked. You're going to squeeze every moment of life out of every day that you live and breathe as you can. How do you do that? He's my source of strength. He's my willpower. He's my everything. This is the answer to, and then what happens when you say that, when you make that declaration? Then he is free then to connect you to the right resource. Here comes people. Here comes money opportunity. You know, here comes an idea. Here comes, you know, a brand new skill set. Here comes knowledge on how to better improve your situation. It all begins to be released. Why? Because now God sees you came to him as source. Now he can release resource to begin to elevate, promote, and get you to the next level living. Oh, is this powerful, people. Please get this. Please get the bulk of this. It's so rich. It's so rich. And then basically, you know, begin to just every day, just take this verse that I shared with you earlier. I know many of you know it, but I mean, do you know it in the time of trouble? My God shall supply all of my needs. God supplies all of my needs. God, not the government, not my father, not my mother, not my job, not my ingenuity. God supplies. And that means whenever you begin to put that in the rightful place, you enable God then to use all of his resources. Once you have that water line plumbed into your house, now you can go in the bathroom or the kitchen. You can use all the resources. You can put the sprinklers on. Every resource connected to that main line now becomes available to you. But without that main water line, sprinklers aren't there. Kitchen sink doesn't work. Can't take a shower. Unless you have some tank that you put in there that's limited. It only has so much water. Oh, but when you have a water line, when you are connected to the vine, when he becomes the door, and you begin to see, wait a minute, I'm not as limited as I thought. The devil's a liar. You may not have had the privilege of a great education. You may not have a large bank account or rich parents. You may not have any ideas of an invention or a skill set of being a great athlete or movie star. That doesn't mean squat to God. You make him your source and he can bypass. He can give you a quantum leap up and over the way that somebody else did it. And he can just put you in the right place at the right time in front of the right person. Today, I want you to begin to practice knowing the difference between God as your source and yet the many different resources. Learn them, and learn them as a resource. And if you catch yourself sliding over into, and you'll know because that's where stress is. Not in receiving from them, but whenever you begin to make them more than what they're meant to be. Oh, whenever you make them more than what they're meant to be, that's when things begin to go sideways. So very, very important in this hour that we see the Lord as our sole source of supply. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and I pray that this word resonates, sinks deep down inside of you. I'm going to say a prayer for you right now, and I'm going to pray that God begins to make a way where there seems to be no way, that the birds appear in your sky, that a fish comes underneath your boat, that a ram appears in your bush, that miracles begin to be turned loose on a regular basis. Touch my partner, touch my friends. Let there be a wave of anointing and glory touch their lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Make sure for further teaching, more information, go to our website at billyburke.org. You can get our full itinerary. I'd like you to get into one of our meetings real soon and see the power of God work. Go to our store. Many new resources up and coming that can help strengthen your faith, help you on the journey, get you on the path that gets brighter and brighter each and every day. So until I see you again right here in this internet, in a meeting, or by way of CD, however we see you or with you, God bless you, and remember, you're one touch away from your miracle.
For more information about this and any of Billy Burke's other teachings, please call 813-287-2116, or you can call us toll-free at 888-7 and the word HEALED. The mailing address is Billy Burke World Outreach, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida, 33622. You can also visit us on the web at billyburke.org.